Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here's Peter Royce.
In Canada, the government department for funding community-based work, skills, and employment initiatives is Human Resources and Skills Development Canada, or HRSDC as it's now called. Huge numbers of projects have been funded over the years, helping people where the market either fails or has no interest. One such area is finding employment for people with disabilities, an area where organizations like LinkUp in Toronto have been operating for over a decade. But LinkUp has been forced to close down by what are being called government reforms. Ruel Amdur is a social worker who's based in Quebec, and he's joined me on the phone to discuss this phenomena. Good morning, Ruel.
Hello.
So, have you heard anything about the current status of LinkUp?
No, I really haven't. I'm, as you say, in Quebec, and this is something that happened in Toronto. But as someone interested in social policy, I've tried to follow the developments of what HRSDC is doing.
Now, let's get back to... So the last thing I heard was they were closing their doors on January 31st. But now, getting back to their actual program, how did the LinkUp program work?
Well, they did a variety of things depending on the particular problems of the client being served. Many of the people had mental health problems of a serious nature, and they did detailed assessments and tried to design work situations that would meet the client's need and also the employer's need. And it was sufficiently impressive in terms of its outcome, that HRDC, which preceded HRSDC, only the names have been changed to protect the guilty, HRDC put them on the website. It's now the HRSDC website, as an example of a highly successful case, someone who had been a courier with Purolator, had a severe accident which made it impossible for him to drive, and they made it possible for him to become a salesman with all kinds of assistance. And this was one of the department's great success stories, but still they're cutting them off.
Now, this sounds like intensive work, the sort of things that LinkUp was doing. What sort of impact do you think it would have on the disabled community in Toronto to these services?
That's difficult to say, because there are a variety of agencies, especially in a place the size of Toronto. However, the larger impact is pretty clear. If you're working in this area, for example, and your job gets pulled out from under you, you're going to think hard and long and hard about whether you're going to stay in this field or whether you're going to do something that is a little bit more secure. So the long-term implications for disabled people are far from good.
Now, I understand that LinkUp was an award-winning agency as well, and served quite a number of people in its 10 years of activity. Do you have any more details about this particular organization?
Well, they won the City of Toronto Access Award for Disability Issues in 1999. Since their start, they placed more than 1,500 people in jobs. They were working with another 1,200 at the time that they were shut down. They themselves were just a small agency, 10 staff, multi-ethnic and variously disabled themselves. So this is the kind of organization that's being shafted.
So now they sound like the epitome of success in terms of a small agency. So why is HRSDC not renewing their funding?
Well, what they did was they set up new criteria, and Joe Volpe, who was the minister responsible at the time, said that he was under pressure because of the incidents of fraud and collusion within the department, kind of thing that is being uncovered in the Gomery inquiry right now. And so they set up complicated accounting procedures and principles. However, what they've done is they've also opened the bidding process to profit-making organizations, and at least one, probably more, of these profit-making organizations has taken the funding that was going to nonprofits before. And what I have argued is that opening it up to profit-making organizations puts it in the same danger that we had with the previous situation, where it's possible to load the dice in favor of worthy, well-connected liberals. And there's one agency, one company that got the funding, which had also been an important contributor to the Liberal Party. Then, and also the executive director of one of the nonprofits, JVS, which is a well-known, well-established organization. She indicated that the fact that she got the contract had nothing to do with the fact that she personally was a contributor to the Liberal Party. And she may be right. Who knows?
So, is the getting back to link up? Is this an isolated incident, or so what's going on in the nonprofit sector there in this sort of way?
Well, to the extent that they're relying on government support, they're at the mercy of these back and forth policy changes where 12 years of successful work is worth exactly nothing when you're considering renewal, and you just destroy an agency that's been successful and replace it with whoever else, especially if the person happens to be a good liberal supporter.
Is the HRDC audit that happened a few years ago, is this still part in part reaction to that as well? As
well, that's what Volpe said, that these rigorous accounting procedures are being imposed in order to avoid scandal. But the fact that they opens it up to profit-making organizations does exactly the opposite.
So then you think more it's a bit of a red herring, that argument around the audits, and it's more a sort of a privatization of social services?
Well, I wouldn't call it a red herring. I think it's more smoke and mirrors.
Okay.
And also there's this whole feeling in government that's been around for a long time, got to do something new and different and exciting. And so they do things that are new, different, and exciting, forgetting all about what has been accomplished in the past. And if people suffer in the process, both the employees and the clients, well, that's just too bad.
Now, do these more onerous administrative responsibilities that we're talking about place an uneven burden on groups of different sizes, or is it across the board for nonprofits?
Well, it certainly is a greater burden on smaller agencies, but the whole thing is a problem for the whole sector. And the people that are running the show, the people administering it, are not that well clued in either. It's a situation where the expertise is on the other side. It's in the voluntary sector. These are people who know the ropes in terms of applications and forms and so on far better than a lot of the people who are supposedly administering it.
So now I'm wondering what the consequences of these shifts are on the end users of the services. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, it can't be good. HRSDC says that they're ensuring that there's going to be continuity, but how you have continuity when the old agency is dead is beyond me. Also, the people who are working for the agency that has been destroyed are going to be looking for other jobs, so they're not going to be around to do making the situation smooth in terms of moving from one agency to another. It's always a problem if you have to move from one agency to another to ensure continuity of service.
And I wonder around the sort of the motivation of HRSDC and this shift for opening it up to for-profit agencies and the like, whether, like, is this bureaucratic incompetence or is there some more fundamental shift underlying this?
Well, this current government has indicated very strongly that it believes in what they call the three P's. I call the four P's: public-private partnership, and I call it public-private partnership pork, because it certainly opens the door for this kind of payback to party supporters.
Now, I understand there's quite a buzz of conversation happening in HRSDC at the bureaucratic level and about criticisms like yours and others that are happening. Do you think there's any likelihood of change?
That's hard to say. Change occurs in an organization like that in two ways. One, incrementally, as slow as a snail, and the other so fast that it makes your head spin and nobody knows what he's doing.
So what would you like? So many people in Vancouver, like Toronto, work in nonprofit agencies that are providing valuable services that contribute to the social safety net in Canada, and it's part of what makes Canada a distinct nation. What do you think that should be done on the part of people working in those agencies to counter this trend?
Scream bloody murder.
Well, I suppose that's very simple as a response.
And organize the clients to do likewise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks very, very much for taking the time to talk with me this morning about this.
Okay.
I've been talking with Ruel Amdur. Ruel Amdur is a social worker and freelance writer based in Quebec, and his article, HRSDC Axis Link-Up, can be found on straightgoods.ca.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.